at the very simplest level, you know, it's where are you now? What does better look like? And what's the value of better? There's lots of ways to kind of get there. But if you really boiled it down, you know, people generally want to move away from something they don't want, or they want to move towards something they do want.
Hey there, it's Liston Witherell from the Inside Selling Podcast. I am here with Josh Braun. Josh, the superhero of sales. How are you today?
Wow, the superhero of sales. How you doing, man? Nice. Happy almost Thanksgiving, by the way.
Happy almost Thanksgiving to you. And actually, so this will go live the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is actually my favorite holiday of them all. What about you, Josh?
I love them all, buddy. I don't, you know, discriminate. I take any holiday.
Oh, I definitely discriminate. My Myers-Briggs says I'm heavy on the judging side, so that probably comes as no surprise to you.
Nice.
Cool. Well, so today, Josh, we're talking about something that every software salesperson, sales manager, sales leader, CEO, CXO, they all feel this pain, and that's around giving demos of their software. And the pain may not be exactly what you think is causing it. So what's the big problem here, Josh? It's something about these demos. They don't always go well. What's up with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem that people are looking to solve is how do I give a demo in a way that accomplishes one of two things? Either gives me the best chance of progressing the sale or gets to the truth that the prospect isn't ready to move forward, so I don't waste my time chasing, because we believe strongly that people buy for their reasons and on their timeline, not for your reasons and on your timeline. And so really the idea of a demo is to be able to understand the truth behind every demo, which is, again, do I want to continue the conversation, move forward, or do I want to not continue the conversation and not move forward at this time? Do I not want you to be my guide? So that's the problem. How do I conduct an initial sales conversation or a demo in a way it helps me get to the answer to that question?
And just to add some color to what you just said, Josh, we're not trying to give you advice that will give you a yes on every single demo, because one thing that we also believe is that some people don't need your thing, and that's comes with the territory, and that's totally fine. That is a totally acceptable answer. We want to know, might this thing help them, or is it not the right time or not the right thing for them? So it's totally okay to hear no. We just want to get to that as quickly and efficiently as possible while giving the prospect the best information to make that decision.
Yeah, and I would even pile onto that a little bit more. If you keep your mind focused on what's in the best interest of the prospect, even if that doesn't involve your product or service. So sometimes that might mean recommending that the prospect does nothing and that they use what they're currently using. And sometimes it might mean that you recommend them to another product or service. But if you really go in with the mindset that you're not assuming, and I think this is your point, Liston, you're not assuming that you're there to sell the prospect on your thing in the demo, it's going to diffuse a lot of the sales pressure, and it's going to allow you to get to a more truthful dialogue and have a more open and honest conversation with the prospect that also feels much better on the soul.
So let's get right into what you just said. You know, I think what you're getting at, Josh, is partially the cause of why some demos just completely fall flat and don't go anywhere. And you're kind of left with this feeling that the prospect maybe tuned out 2 minutes in and they've been checking email the entire time. So why is that happening? Is it that your demo sucks? Is it that they can smell your breath through the computer? Like, what's going on there?
Well, depends if you ate like an onions or garlic type of a scenario.
Well, I've had a pot of coffee today.
I think, you know, at a most fundamental level, the demo doesn't have to be the demo for your product. It has to be the best demo for your prospect. So not all prospects care about the same things. And so I think what has a tendency to happen on a lot of demos, and I'm sure you've been on them as well, Liston, is salespeople tend to, and I've done this as well, you know, sort of vomit the product on the prospect. And what ends up happening there is, because it's not resonating with the things that I care about, I end up thinking to myself, this is interesting, but it sounds like I'm paying for a lot of things I don't even need. and I start to kind of zone out. I mean, I had an experience with a very big sales enablement tool, and I was in late stages of wanting to buy it. It was about a $65,000 product. I had the authority to buy it and sign, and I was almost pre-sold because I did a lot of research, you know, online and attended their webinars. But the demo, the sales rep just went through a sort of cookie cutter demo and demoed every single feature. And I found myself about 35, 40 minutes in starting to look at competitive products because I felt I was overpaying. I was like, oh my God, this thing does so much stuff that I'll never use. What can I find that's a little bit lighter that only does the two or three things I need it to do? And so this idea of the product demo has to be the best product demo for your prospect, not necessarily your product is thing number one. And then thing number two, somewhat related to that, is demos are not one-way dialogues. They're not the opportunity for you to just sell and pitch for 35 or 40 minutes, and we'll kind of get into this. But I think another cause is when prospects are leaning back and the sales rep is talking, and then they get to the end and say, what do you think? And they say, great. And then you sort of high-five yourself and you think it was awesome. So we're going to kind of get into an approach when we get a little bit later in the podcast about how you can turn these demos into more of an interactive experience. So you're sort of checking to see if the prospect is bought in to what it is that you're saying and if there's energy. Because if there's not, again, if the prospect's buying for their reason, not yours, if you're not hearing that energy, as you put it, listen, the demos are going to start to fall flat.
And so, you know, one of the requisite things there is, like you said, a demo is basically a pitch. Like I'm, you know, revealing this thing behind the curtain, and I'm going to show you how it works, and I'm going to give you some examples about what you can do with all of these amazing features that my engineering team built. But the problem there is we don't know if any of that is relevant, just like on your call. Right? When you saw this $65,000 thing and you realized, wait, about 50,000 of my dollars are going into all the things that I don't care about, suddenly you start to question, is this for me or not? So before we get to the sale, one thing we can do is really do some discovery, learning about the person, understanding what they're trying to accomplish, what are their goals. How would you kind of conduct this in the beginning of a demo?
Yeah, I mean, a brief, you know, 5 to 10 minute, as you put it, Liston, you know, discovery before the demo to understand what the things are that matter to the prospect or things that you can bring up that the prospect hasn't thought of that they're lighting up against. So I always call this the sort of metal detector discovery, right? We're asking questions and we're seeing when the metal detector starts to go beep, 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 and we're going to kind of dig in there and understand a little bit more because those are the things that we are going to ladder our product to. So at a high level, the prospect said they care about X, Y, and Z to help them achieve A, B, and C. And they said two or three things. And we're going to take those two or three things when we get to the demo, and we're going to ladder those things, and we're going to relate those to our demo. You know, you said X, Y, and Z was important. Let me show you how we do that. And I would argue, listen, we're curious to hear your perspective on this. We can certainly get into some discovery questions, but I would argue that you probably don't want to talk about more than three or four ways in which you can help your prospect get to better. More than that, I think you start to overwhelm the prospect on the other end. So like three or four things that you're going to learn in discovery, and we'll go through some questions, and then how you can, you know, listen to those metal detector moments and then take those two or three things, present them one at a time. You know, here's thing number one and how we might help. Here's thing number two. And then see, like, you know, what their reaction is.
You know, I think my formula is close to what you're saying. So, but I wouldn't have a hard and fast rule, maximum of 3 to 4 things that I could help with. What I'd be looking for is in that discovery process, what are their goals? What are the major things they're trying to accomplish? And assuming I can meet all of those, I would show them parts of my product that could meet those goals that they're trying to accomplish. And then I'd look for one or two extra things, which is kind of the next section of how we really make this relevant. So what I mean by extra is, like you always say, Josh, how can I connect a dot? Or how can I, the way I like to think of it is, how can I give a brand new perspective on how to approach this? So it's kind of like a challenger sale type thing where I'm going in and saying, you know, there's something you haven't thought of. And that would be part of the, you know, set of solutions that I'm presenting to the customer.
Yeah, definitely. You know, so one of the things that can start to separate you from your competitors is bringing new ideas and insights to the table that may or may not, again, relate to your product. So by way of example, we were on the phone last week with a prospect that was talking to us about his business, and we were able to introduce him to a person in our network that ran a business that we thought would help him win more deals. And we brought up why we thought it was a good partnership. It was a complementary offering. They were in the same space. And you could almost hear on the call this flip from when he went from, oh my God, you're a vendor, to, wow, that was a frick. I mean, in his words, that's a freaking awesome idea. And so being able to be that person, to be able to shine a light on something, to your point, listen, of something that someone hasn't considered in that discovery process by asking, like, have you considered this? And, you know, I was thinking about that, and what do you think about this idea? I'm not sure if this is even smart or not, but what do you think of this? Those are the sort of moments in discovery where your prospect's energy is going up and that metal detector is beeping that can really help you, you know, sort of progress the sale more forward if prospects are starting to lean in.
Right. And, you know, for us, I just want to make this a little bit more concrete. If someone were to approach us, Sales DNA, there's really three main things that they would want from us. One is help onboarding their SDRs. Two is getting more meetings. And three is turning more meetings into closed business. Now, when we talk to people, we may say something like, okay, we get that you're trying to bring on, you know, reps faster and get them ramped up to full productivity in, say, a month instead of 6 months. But another thing that we could bring in terms of this unique perspective is we would say something like, look, the old sales training model, totally dead, right? It doesn't work anymore because people don't want to be talked at. They want information in real time. They want to spend 5 to 10 minutes learning a really specific thing that's relevant to me right now. And you don't want to make a 6-month commitment to some training organization when you have no idea if it's going to work. That's why we work in a 4-week sprint. And then if you like us, we'll keep going. And if it doesn't work out for whatever reason, we're all free.
Yeah. And I think we're kind of getting into the actual pitch. I mean, when we talk about discovery, to your point, I think it's really important in discovery to understand what those things are that people care about, right? Because they may be very different than the things you care about. So a couple questions you might be able to ask in discovery, you know, might be something like, hey, you know, I know we reached out to you, or maybe you reached out to us and you were probably doing things just fine. What sort of change in your organization that's prompting you to want to have a conversation with us today? And to me, that is my absolutely favorite initial question to ask. And what you want to listen for when you ask that question is, how long they've been struggling with this? Is it something that they haven't been struggling with long? That's a great thing to know. Or have they tried a bunch of things and they're like at the end of the rope and this is like high priority for them? So that first question of, you know, why now is a really great one. Second question you want to ask is, where do you want to be? You know, so, you know, let's pretend it's 12 months from now. What was better look like? Tell me a little bit more about that. And what does that mean? And what's the impact of that? And then the other question I always love to ask is, where are you now? And what obstacles have you faced? You know, with those three or four discovery questions, as well as some dig deeper questions, you can really get a sense of what the prospect cares about. And then listen to the other question that we usually always like to ask is, to your point, you know, have you considered? You know, have you considered, you know, programs that reduce the ramp up time from 6 weeks to maybe a day or two or three? Have you thought about things like that? Or what would the impact be of not being able to do X, Y, and Z? So those four or five questions, I think, are really great, and probably the only four or five you really need in this sort of discovery moment to be able to get at what matters to the prospect.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is exactly what you meant by the question, where are you now? But I ask a version of that, but I would say something more along the lines of, you know, what have you done to address this problem, and kind of what's the status of that? Why do you think that worked or didn't work? Or, you know, it's very similar. Is that what you meant by,
yeah,
where are
totally.
You now?
Totally. At the very simplest level, you know, it's where are you now? What does better look like? And what's the value of better?
Right.
There's lots of ways to kind of get there. But if you really boiled it down, you know, people generally want to move away from something they don't want, or they want to move towards something they do want. So,
right.
You know, sort of like sort of pain and pleasure. And those three questions are, if you had to sort of just boil it down, are the ones you kind of have to get the answers to. And then after you've had the answers to those questions and the prospect has vented, then it's your opportunity to summarize what you heard in their words. And you can kind of use that frame, right? So the reason you're talking to us today is X, Y, and Z. couple 10 months from now, you want to be at A, B, and C. What you've tried is B, C, and D, A, B, and C. And then some of the obstacles you faced are blah, blah, blah. Did I understand you correctly? And what you're hearing, what you should be hearing is, oh my God, it's like you work here. Like that's sort of what you should be hearing. And then and only then are you ready to then take those words that you heard, and we can get into this third section, which is now how to actually give the demo.
Yeah, so now that you've heard these words, you've repeated them back to your prospect. They agree, yes, this is exactly where we are right now. Those are my problems. That's where I'm trying to get to. This is what it means for us in terms of value. Then you go into your demo and you just give a canned demo that you give every other prospect, right?
No, this is sort of where you now take each of those learnings and you say, you know, listen, one of the things that you told me was important to you was that we get SDRs onboarded in a fast way. We believe that onboarding SDRs in 4 weeks is a outdated way of onboarding SDRs. We're going to share with you an approach and a philosophy for how we can onboard them in just one day, get them on the phone, setting meetings in just one day. Let me tell you a little bit about that. So notice what I did there. I sort of weaved in our unique positioning around what matters to the prospect. And this is sort of, then I would present it, then I would stop. And that would be the end of chapter one of three, if I'm going to use three or four ideas that the prospect told me. And I'd say, you know, hey, listen, I'd either say, how does that sound? Or tell me how that compares to what you're doing today. And listen, might say, well, that doesn't look any better. That's really good to know right now, especially if you're selling enterprise software, which are really lengthy sales cycles. And again, you're listening for the metal detector. And again, you'll hear this when you're, again and again, if you listen to us, is these moments where the prospect starts to light up. And we experienced this last week, listening with that prospect we were just talking about. All of a sudden, he's like lighting up and he's talking, oh my God, this would be way better because, bop, 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 bop. When the prospect is talking that way, they're going to want to stay consistent with what they're saying. So when you can ladder their words to your demo, it creates a much stronger bond.
Yeah, and I'll share kind of the flip side of that. I once got a demo for a very, very well-known marketing automation solution. And in the beginning, the sales rep shows up with this PowerPoint deck, and on I think the first or second slide, there's a picture of himself, and he tells me that he needs $70,000 to make a down payment on his apartment that he wants. And I'm thinking, like, why is that my problem? Of course. And then he
wait a second, $70,000 on an apartment? That's a lot of change.
Oh, I was actually, I won't say where it was because people will figure out what the company is. But it actually didn't seem like that much. So anyway, he then launches into what was quite obviously a canned pitch, had absolutely nothing to do with anything I had said previous to this point. And this is on like our third phone call, Josh. And I got to tell you, my perspective on that was I'd already decided to buy the software, right? And really, I was humoring him to go through this process in order to get a better deal. But it absolutely forever diminished the standing of that company in my mind, right?
Totally.
Because this guy, not only did he not pay attention to what I said, but he obviously didn't care at all. And it's just a really, really bad way to start a relationship with people.
Totally. It kind of gets back to what we said before, that there is no perfect product demo. The demo has to be perfect for your prospect.
That's right.
So if you think about the format of the demo, you have the summary. Here's what you told me. Here's how we can help. Stop. Ask, you know, how is this different than what you're currently doing today? Then do the second part. Then do the third part. Then you sort of wrap up the demo.
Let me stop you for a second. So this is getting into something that I think deserves its own little section of this podcast, which is whenever you restate their goals, they agree with you. Now I'm going to show you an aspect of my product that can help you achieve that goal. And then you stop and you get buy-in.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So let's talk about buy-in. What does that do and how does that really help the momentum of the demo?
Yeah, so this kind of gets back to what we talked about earlier, that people buy for their reasons, not yours. And so what you want to hear is someone expressing to you how your thing might help them get to better, in their words. And there's a psychological principle behind this called the rule or the law of consistency. When people express in their words how your thing can help them do something better, they're much more likely to be able to take action and move forward versus you telling them how your product or service is going to help them do something better.
Right. Yeah, we really want to put the prospect in the driver's seat so that they can kind of tell us what their destination is and how they want to get there. Right. So let's say we go through the whole thing. We get buy-in on each of the, let's call them chapters within the demo. How do I wrap up the demo and then kind of keep the thing moving so that I'm still in a relationship and I'm still in a sale?
Yeah, remember, so at the beginning of this kind of gets back a little bit to discovery. One of the sort of key questions is like, why now? Or another way that I like to ask it at discovery, which is this something you're looking to change now? And that is a key question to ask at the very beginning, because they might say no. At which case, I would argue maybe you don't even want to do a demo. But assuming that it's something they want to do now and there's, you know, it's on the radar of the person that is responsible for making the decision and we've done the demo, a closing question that I like to ask, and I have two different ones that I do. So the first one is, where would you like to go from here? Again, we're trying to get the prospect to drive this thing, to see where the energy is. So where would you like to go from here? And the second version of that, which sometimes I ask, is what next step, if any, would you like to take? Now think about what's going to happen in these scenarios. The prospect is going to do what, Liston? Like, what are the only two scenarios that can come out of asking a question like that?
Well, typically they'll say, I would like to continue, but I need to do X, Y, or Z. Or they'll say, yeah, I don't know, maybe. In which case we would want to know, is that really a no? And it's okay to hear no.
Yeah. So when the prospect says, you know, I need to be able to, especially if you're selling enterprise software and they have to get some perspective of some other people in the organization, let's say you've identified the person that has the authority to make decisions like this, you might say to them, hey, completely understand that you need to talk to Bob. How long have you been working with him? Oh, about 5 years. What do you think he'll say? What kind of concerns do you think he'll have, or she, if it's Bobby? And so we'll want to discuss that with the prospect and sort of bubble that up and get to the truth. And then another question you can ask is, you know, would it make sense to put some time on the calendar, circle back around in a week or so once you've had an opportunity to talk with Bob? And again, what that does is it's testing to see if the prospect wants to continue with you. And sometimes people are, it's a little awkward for people to tell you what they really think, but by asking these questions, you can kind of test. If they say, no, I'll get back to you, that's again, a little bit of a red flag, but at least you know that you shouldn't put it in your pipeline. If they say, yeah, definitely, we should definitely circle up, how's the 10th or 11th, and you have line of sight to the decision maker, that's something that, and you have a decision-making date on the calendar, which I know we haven't talked about yet, but those are things that I would put in the pipeline and increase my chances of closing.
So yeah, let's say we get the green light. We have a follow-up scheduled on the calendar. Is there anything we should do in the meantime before that next meeting in order to better follow up or make, you know, kind of improve the experience for that prospect?
Yeah, definitely. So after the meeting, you send a little email and it's got really three things. First thing is, this is what you're trying to achieve. The second thing is a couple links to some articles that you've written that ladder back to those things. And again, the reason you want to include some articles to some content is, again, it starts to build your expertise in the mind of the prospect. And then third, just the actual date of the next meeting. And this doesn't have to be a long email. This is, you know, maybe three short little paragraphs and some bullets with the articles. And again, listen, I don't know if we have an example of one we can include in the show notes if people want to, you know, check one out.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, perfect. So I think people will be able to do a better demo now. And I just kind of want to recap, Josh, and you can jump in at any point. So really, the problem with most demos is that they're falling flat. You're not sure why, but the real reason is the demo is perfect for your product and not for your prospect. And we want to flip that around. And so the first thing you should really do is some discovery, ask some questions that are very targeted. Where are you now? Where do you hope to go? What would it mean for you if you got there? We want to
And do you want to change? And do you want? Is this something you're looking to do now? Something you're looking to change now?
Absolutely. And then, you know, bring something extra that to that conversation, right? Bring a new idea, a unique idea. Don't be afraid to go off script and customize it for your prospect. And stop along the way to get buy-in from your prospect just to make sure that you're being understood and that they agree that these are things that will actually help them. And then finally, wrap up that call with either a next step, if they want it or not, and then follow up before the next meeting. Did I miss anything, Josh?
Listen, you've said it all, as always.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for laying out the perfect demo today, and I'm going to grade you with this rubric on our next sales call.
If someone calls us and pitches us now, that they'll probably close us. If someone has something to sell us, now that they know this technique, we'll probably buy it, whatever you're selling. I don't know what we're selling, but we'll probably get it.
Does that mean we're suckers or that the products will be perfect?
We'll find out if we get some pitches. Let's bring it on, salespeople. Bring me your demo.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Josh.
All right. Let's have a good one.